Father, thank you for your spirit this morning, that you would care to meet with men and women, and it would matter to you to meet with us. It still blows my mind. I appreciate your presence. I ask you, can you to stay? And he says, you are inhabit your word. You are your word. So I pray that you are the great I am this morning and what I share today, and that Sean would be lessened and you would be great. And the church said, amen. Acts of the Apostles, episode 6. Rumbling. Ever heard the word rumbling? You know, rumbling can have all sorts of connotations. I grabbed a few today. There's a couple different kinds of rumblings, you know. In his word, you often see in places like in the Old Testament, it says, rumbling like many waters. You know, his rumbling, his voice like many waters, rumbling. Or you'd see things like a thunder sound of God approaching. You know, it was like a rumbling, you know, rumbling. The Bible's accessible. If you don't, I've never heard that before, I read those. Look up rumbling. You'd be like, oh, wow. But I don't know, maybe you need a good God rumble in your life. Maybe you need God to rumble you a little bit because you've been stuck and things need to rumble. Or need things rumbling a little bit in your life. You're like, I know I need some momentum. I need a little push. Whenever I need to go to the garage, I have a friend in New York. I hear his voicemail like a Jimmy the Cricket. You can go in there. You have 15 minutes. Come on. He's super encouraging. You know, I hear him in my voice, you know. Sometimes you need that little rumble, like, you better get to it. Are you a little uncomfortable? Yeah, I'm trying to make you why. There's a little rumble, you know. Those are good rumbles, but there are bad rumbles, too. Ever been to see a bad rumble? A couple bad rumbles before? Mm-hmm. I had to deal with some bad rumbles before in my life. And some bad rumblers. There's bad rumbles around us sometime, and there's bad rumblers in us sometime. Okay? All right. Acts of the Apostles. Let's go. This is rumbling. Acts of the Apostles 6, 1 through 4. It says this. There we are. Great. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, I love it when the church grows. It's been fantastic. It's wonderful. I love that. It's a great thing. It's our job as disciples to grow the church. Say, I am the church. So it's our job to grow his church, right? Rapidly multiplying, that's great. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Rumbling, I hear like rumblings of discontent. You know, like you're going through the gates of some, you know, mythical show you're watching, and they enter the rumblings of discontent. You know, there they were, the season of rumblings. It's a hard lesson, though, as a leader, honestly. There's an awareness point here. The scripture's not there, Jess, don't stress. But in Proverbs 14:4, it says, and I'll make a correlation. You're like, what are you doing, Pastor? Trust me on this. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Paraphrase. Oxen can make a poopy mess, but you need them. Oxen can make a poopy mess, but you need them to get the work done, right? Without oxen, the stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Another paraphrase. Paraphrase from the hood. Ready? More people, more problems. Ever hear that? More people, more problems. That's more, not more, more. More people, more problems. But you need people. Say, ah, people. There were rumblings of discontent. The church is growing. Things are going great. Fruit's happening. The apostles are doing what God called them to do. Things are going on, and no matter how good God doing in your life, you always got a rumble, don't you? You got a little rumble? Well, yeah, you got something to rumble about. That was good, but I would have liked. Thank you, God, for that, but that's number 7 on my list. What about number 2? Rumble, rumble. Or, man, you just came. God was doing something amazing. You saw something happen in someone's life. You're like, that was great. Rumble, rumble. Where's mine? Rumble. Pastor spent more 4 seconds at the door with him than he did me. Rumble, rumble. Rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained. Believers complained? See, it isn't so. That's shocking. Believers complain? Never have I ever. That is sarcasm. That's from New York. I need to cut down on that, son. Trust me. It's rumble, rumble. There were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers. Believers complaining about believers. Have you ever heard of that before? Have you ever heard of it? I was like, that was a back then problem. Man, never have I ever. This is like, can't even relate. Again, that's sarcasm. If my granddaughter's here, whenever I'm sarcastic, I have to wink. Then she knows I'm being sarcastic. Like, she don't know. She's like, Papa thinks squirrels can talk. No, you better wink. I winked at you. You missed that, you know. You know. There were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows are being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Say, sounds like an oxen issue. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Pause right there for a second. That sounds haughty, sounds beneath them, but honestly, it's not. It's the best use of them. You know, you can dig a hole with a china plate. You take your time and you can do it. That's not the right tool. You can do it. In our lives, how often are we digging holes with china plates? Sometimes you got to use the right tool. And what he's saying is, hey, well, we should be doing this. This is the best use of us. Leadership 101, prioritize importance. Try to put people where they are best anointed and equipped. Try to put people where they're best. Like, don't, like, Pastor, I got a great job for you. It's making a mill. Making a mill? Yeah, you can do it on the side. On the side, a mill? How many hours a week? Half an hour a week, I make a mill? It's technical computer jargon, and you write code. I'm like, oh, I lost a mill. Don't put me there. I'll sell that somewhere online or something. I'll go up and shake hands, and babies, hey, try this. It's good for you, but try this, baby. It's good tech, you know? Again, that shows you where I'm at with my tech, you know? But you prioritize the importance of where you put people where they're best anointed. That's what God said. I've seen people go, I'm anointed to do this. No, you're not. You just want to do it. You called yourself that. No one else did. I know. Get back to the notes, Hondo. I feel that from you. But Hondo's cool in the front. He's always going, okay, Pastor. The line's closed, but you're all right. But put in a place for what's best for the whole organization and for them. See, if you're ready, if you're everybody own your own business and have more than one employee, if you ever owned your own business, have more than one employee, it's important. Sometimes you just been the employee, you want a paycheck from an organization you work for. You don't have to bear the burden of the whole organization. Why they elevate Tom? Why did he get the raise and not me? Well, ask the guy who runs the organization, because maybe he had a plan that was good for Tom and for the organization. And sometimes if we don't get that spot we wanted, and Tom gets it, we rumble, rumble, rumble. Rumbling our tumbly, right? It says this, and so brothers, man, the best use of us is not that. So brothers, select 7 men. All right, 7 men. 7 guys to do the job. I like that. Round table, you hearing this? Mm-hmm. Good. So brothers, select 7 men. Men who are well-respected. Men who are well-respected. It doesn't say well-educated. Doesn't say I know this and I know that. It says well-respected. You know how you get well-respected? You do and be someplace for a while. They see your life and the integrity come out, and that's respect. You're not given respect because you got a title or you think you're that. Respect is given well when it's earned. So there's people around that are well-respected. He said, bring some dudes. Everybody goes, yeah, that's a good, solid dude. I had interactions with that guy over the course of the Jesus walk, and solid guy, yeah. Not perfect. He's not Jesus, but he's solid. Right? Men who are well-respected, check your H life. Let's see your fruit. You want to be well-respected, check your character. Check your fruit. Men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit. Men who are well-respected and are full of Spirit and wisdom. And we'll give them this food program responsibility. Man, that sounds like pastor responsibility to me. Even their food service organization for the church required the Holy Spirit. Men who were full. Now, educated, I've run food programs before. Since I was 7, I've been running food programs. I got a food program. It's awesome. You're full of the Holy Spirit and you're well respected? No, take a seat till that happens. Even the food service for the church required the Holy Spirit and proven character and wisdom. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer. It really is the most important thing. If you've ever led a church or a ministry, is hearing from God is the most important thing. And if you're a human and you have a life to lead, I would encourage you, the most important thing you can do is hear from God as well. Because when the times I haven't heard from God or taken the time to even ask, those have been some of my biggest injuries and problems in my life. Then we can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word of God, which is really important because that's how we got it. They are given time to spend time with God, and they wrote down those things, and we read it today as the breathed Word of God. So you got to have people in their places, right? That's just saying. Acts 6, 5 through 7. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Boom. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, not Pumbaa, Parmenians. And Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to the Jewish faith. These seven, various ordinary men, were taking on the task of helping the apostles do churchy stuff. Man, the guys that help around here do churchy stuff, I always, you know, shout. There's so many names I could just shout out, so don't be offended. I don't call your name in this moment. But one of the people that helped me do so much churchy stuff, you wouldn't think it's churchy stuff, but it's so churchy. Mr. Wilson Cross helps me with churchy stuff all the time. Like, phew, man, yeah. You know, he could be Timon. You know, I don't know. You want to be Nicor or Timon? You just, you know, whatever. These seven men were presented to the apostles who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. They're obeying God, and they're getting things in order. You know how important that is? Sometimes we want God so bad, we don't want to put the things in order for that to happen. We want to create our own order. We don't want to be under order. We don't want everyone else. We're called to put everybody else back in order. And most of the time, it's that mindset, if that creeps up on you, you're probably the one that's out of order. And sometimes we need order and things connected in our life so it flows how it's supposed to be. I've had my finger out of joint before, pointing right back at me. Coaches that were in the NFL throwing up on my sideline. It hurt like crazy. I am so glad that you don't see me as like a finger pointing back this way, like, hey, how you doing? And be like pointing backwards at you. Imagine that. Imagine if I just walked my whole life out of order. Dr. Heidi would not. I can't marry that finger guy. Why? It's just creepy. Yeah, he's looking back. See that finger? That's crazy. I'm glad he snapped. It hurt like a dog being snapped back into place. I remember screaming and wanting to bite something. And this was like 1984. I remember that. You know, but sometimes we got to put things in order if we're going to be functional again. So these seven were presented to the apostles who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. Getting order produces fruit. So God's message continued to spread. God's message continued to spread. Imagine ordinary people spread the gospel, just doing by what he asked of them. You know how many times this week I've heard someone say, I felt like God told me to call this person, to do this person, and then I heard like what happened after that. I've had that all week long here, little things, little seeds have been thrown out in my life. Like, ooh, this is risky. I don't even know how they're going to respond to this. Woo! Jesus is doing something. Like, I've had anybody else put your hands up? I know, I see you. Good. Thanks. That's been going on. And that spreads the gospel. Your life taking a risk to love somebody where they're at with sincere, authentic God love, not whatever's icky and fake. But when you are the church and you send that out to somebody, man, that's spreading the gospel. Was it Swiss Wigglesworth? Preach the gospel whenever you preach the gospel. I think it was him. Preach the gospel whenever you have to use words. Preach the gospel whenever you have to use words. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased. Wow, the plan worked. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Isn't that sweet? That's cool, right? I think it's cool. thank goodness, you know, Jeff, your people. You know? Acts 6:8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. I got to pull over right there. First, seek to be full of his grace before you seek to be full of his power. Seek to be full of his grace first before you seek to be full of his power. Because those that don't understand grace misuse power. And if you forgot what God did for you, you're going to start judging everyone else really harshly. And there are times we're called to with our brother. But if you haven't sought grace first before you sought power, you're just a baby with power tools. And those are dangerous. It's real power, real tool, but seek to be full of grace before you seek to be full of power. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people, but one day. I hate that line sometimes. But one day, everything finally seems to be sailing along, you know. You know that Christopher Cross, sailing. You know, you know, you're too young. You're like, what are you talking? Thank you, Jeff. Just, you know, I'm just grooving. Just woo, you know. Life finally seems to be sailing along. You're vibing with Jesus. You're vibing with your people. Ever have those moments? You're like, yeah, then out of the blue, man, one day. I was grooving. And then one thing. I was driving down Ironwood, then I was real grooving. Then all of a sudden I got a ticket. I was grooving one day. You know, this happened. This happened, you know, just grooving one day. Bang, get you out of nowhere. One day. Ruin your whole day sometimes. Everything was going great. And then that one thing. Ever have one thing? That one thing. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. I triple hate that. Come on, people always have to be a special, don't they? Why couldn't they see what's going on? Why couldn't they just get on board with what was going on, but they had to bring the 2 cents that no one asked for? You ever have that happen to you? You're planning a party, and someone who's not planning it with you jumps in with their 2 cents, and you're like, uh-huh. Who's this cat? You know, been spending 12 months planning this party. You want to change anything to blue? No. Come on. Can't you just enjoy the fruit and get in order? And if not, if you can't do that, maybe it's just time you got to get on with yourself. If you can't get in line with what God is doing where you're at, maybe you're out of alignment, you're in the wrong spot. Right? So sometimes we try to change the spot we're in. We got to find the spot we're supposed to be. But if you're supposed to be in the spot, stop trying to change the spot instead of change yourself. I know that's confusing. Corinne's like, Pastor, we got to rehear that later. And I can't even repeat myself because I don't know what I just said. So, you know, but, you know, be you. I'm encouraging you, be you, but God's fruit inspection is coming for all of us. Be you, but God's fruit inspection is coming for every one of us. So maybe just go produce fruit and stop debating, will you? If you find you're a debater, I know I can feel a pin drop. Check with God first, because sometimes you can be working on the other side of the team. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Sicilia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit which Stephen spoke. I almost put the picture up of Dikembe. I don't bring that weak stuff in here. And remember, before you bring anything, pray, because you might be fighting against God. Look at your neighbor. Say, be authentic. Look at your other neighbor. Say, be authentic. Acts 6:11 through 15. Those wonderful free debaters. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen. Wow, that sounds like a great church group right there. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen. Lying. Let's talk about lying for a second. Have you ever been in a place as a leader and people lied about you? Have you ever been in politics? They lying about you. Some. If you're a pastor, they've lied. Ever been a person? Great. I bet someone's lied to you before. And they tried to harm you with false words. And some of those words you still carry around like a chain. Because someone said something to you a long time ago, and it was a lie, but you ate it, and it became part of who you are. God wants to set you free from that, because lies are never from God. They're lies. And sometimes you have people that say they know God, but all they are is liars with an evil intention. God's words will sound different. They lied and said, "We heard him." That sounds convincing. We heard him. That's right. So, did you hear him say that? Yeah, I heard him. Careful. Remember, be careful. We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God. It's crazy how they put Moses first. This roused the people and the elders and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. We were warned. Remember the warnings? Jesus said, hey, the people are going to lie about you. They're going to drag you into court. They're going to say all sorts of manner of things against you. Some of you are going to be beaten. Some of you are going to be put in jail. Some of you are going to give up your life. Remember, Jesus said, be warned. And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, yeah, what he said, but from our perspective. Be warned. The lying witnesses said, this man is always speaking against the Holy Temple and against the law of Moses. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the custom of Moses handed down to us. Nope, he didn't say that. Sounds convincing, like, yeah, did Jesus say that? No, he didn't say that. He said, when you destroy this temple, I'm going to resurrect it. He said that. And he also said that one day is coming, this temple in Jerusalem is going to be smashed like a Mario Party brick house. Just not one little stone is going to be left on another one. It sounds so elementary, and I want to say it in sincerity. It's both important to know what he says and what he means. What he says and what he means. I've met a lot of people who know what he says, have no idea what he means. Give me someone who knows what he means better than what he says. If I have to pick one, I want someone who knows God and knows what God means from the sincerity of truth, not just what he says. Dr. Huddy has this famous saying that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Right. At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. When I first read that, I did not expect that to be the next thing. It's like, okay, bright as an angel's. What's going on with Stephen? Why did he highlight him? It's like, do you read old paper Bible September books? And I still highlight, you know. I just picture God went, oh! Highlighted him, you know, I don't know. Acts 7, 1 through 2. Then the high priest asked Stephen, well, at least he went to the source. A lot of people just make judgments, don't even ask. Did you hear what Jeff said? I was right there. He said he hates ice cream. And everyone who eats ice cream is weird. Heard it. Jeff. You know who the best person to ask if that's true? Jeff. You know, often we'll get on Facebook and go, let's take a poll. Who thinks Jeff weird? You know, not ice cream eater, you know. Before you knew we're chucking stones, Jeff, he didn't say that. Pastor was making up trash on stage right there. The high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? This was Stephen's reply. I want to start at the beginning of it. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. He's saying, calm down, I need you to hear you. Ever get someone, they're in a conversation, and they're just riled up, they're rumbling, and you're like, hold on, you're not even hearing me. I need you to hear me. Focus. If you've ever had a two-year-old in your life, you've had to do that 11,000 times. Right? He says, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestors Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. What? The next verses, 3 through 50, you should go read it. I'm not going to. Stephen's speech is a very important lesson, though, on the terrible cycle of how God blesses his people, speaks plainly to them, and they welcome God, and the next thing you know, they rebel again. God says, do this. Yes, God, we're all in. I'll bless you. And they say, yeah, we love that you're blessing us. We welcome that. We're going to do it. And rumble, 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 rumble. And he said, dude, that's a cycle.
That's the cycle.
So read those verses, and he's going to explain all the cycles of Israel. I'm going to skip down because I think I have a slide. Is it up? Some patterns need breaking. If you got a pattern that rumbles against God, it needs breaking. If you got a pattern of anything in your life that doesn't lead you towards God but breaks you and keeps you away from it, that pattern needs breaking. Some patterns need breaking just because of life. You know, I had to break patterns of what a Capozzi household used to look like versus what it is now. And I hope by the time the littlest Capozzi gets on with it, it looks even better and more like Jesus than when I started the ball. You had to break a cycle sometimes. And that's not easy. Some patterns need breaking, but some patterns need breaking in me. Sometimes I have default. I have leave me alone or I'm a bear when I'm angry. I have to find a medium ground. You know, like leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. Or, you know, those are my two things. Like, you gotta break the cycle. You can't go from leave me alone to rah. That's not fair to everybody. You gotta go, hey, my temperature's rising. I'm about to bear on you. So, you know, some patterns need breaking, but some need breaking in me. Acts 7:51. He starts off strong. He runs the whole cycle out, how they've been rebellious as a nation. Every time God does something good for them, he says, you stubborn people. You stubborn people. You stubborn people. You are heathen at heart. Ooh. You stubborn people are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. He's talking to God's people. Ooh. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's a good question to consider, eh? How open are you to His Spirit? That's a good question for this season. It really is. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. I could hear it like I was. If I had sound effects this week and we weren't preparing to do a million things and it wasn't like a roller coaster that you don't want to ride all week long, I would have had a Jeopardy buzzer. They didn't have an answer because there isn't one. Name one. Can't buzz them. Can't do it. I know there's not a buzzer in the word, but if there was, I would have put it right there. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predict the coming of the righteous Messiah. The Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. You betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. Say this, some patterns need breaking. Have any destructive patterns in your life? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. This might not be a safe space to do that. It should be, but some people can't handle other people's brokenness. Yeah, I know. It's not in the notes. Get back to the notes. Max is like, Pastor, I got my back to the wall. I'm watching you. I got. Thank you, Maxie. Do you have any destructive patterns that need breaking? I want to say, seek God. Seek God. Go to the source. And then if you need more than that, seek someone who has help, that knows how to help in those areas, and seek them. We don't rumble laterally. We lumble up. Right, okay. It's time to break destructive, ungodly patterns in our life for all of us, right? Acts 7:54-60. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists at him in rage. I would have played a little bit of, anybody know American Pie? I was, you know, shook their fists with clenched fists of rage, you know? Yeah, how dare you? I'm so mad. I'm shaking. Sometimes when I get really mad, I get an adrenaline dump. My hands start shaking. Zzz, like if you ever see my, I'm doing this, you're like, uh-oh. Pray for Pastor Y because he's a volcano. He's rumbling. They were like so mad. Stephen, what are you saying to us? He's saying you got bad jacked up patterns in your life. You've had them in your whole family life for a whole long time. And if you don't break them, it's going to lead to murdering the Savior. He died for your sins, but you murdered them. They went, oh, you know, something like that. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, when they're shaking their fists at him in rage, I don't know, Dave. Are you good with people shaking their fists at you? I'm not quite a Stephen yet. I'm trying to become Stephen. Jesus is like, pfft. But I'm like, man, don't shake your fists at me in rage. I'm trying to be chill. Working on my, anybody have to work on your chill in those situations? Yeah, I see you got to work on your chill, you know. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, oh, that's how you get your chill. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven. There's a key if you're taking notes. When you're under attack, look up. When you're under attack, look up. If it's really an unrighteous attack in your life, the first place you got to look is up. Gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus. Saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he told him, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they did the real mature thing. They put their hands over their ears and began shouting. Ever see that happen? You know? No, 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 I can't hear you. No, 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 no. I mean, wow, great religious leaders. Fantastic. We don't pray, but I can't hear you. Blah, 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 blah. That's a great technique. They put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Look at your neighbor. Say, we were warned. We were warned. His accusers took off their coats and they laid them at the feet of a young man. The young man named Saul. He's going to become significant. This guy's brutal. He's relentless, and he thinks he's serving God in his brutality. Saul's no joke. And they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Now, I want us to look at Stephen's response. I mean, seriously, look at his response to the lies that are being stoned, that he's being, as he's being stoned to death, because I thought of it this morning as I was getting ready. Stephen was in his own town, right? He's one of the seven guys. They picked out those guys. They must have known each other. Category, right? So Stephen gets thrown out. So I want you to think of that. What if this was your friend? Now, a lot of us like to go, don't be messing with my friend. What if it was your friend? What if your friend's getting barbecued at work because of some text that actually got sent out that had scripture on it, and some kid got a hold of it, took it home, and some parent called and complained, and they're getting roasted in front of the principal. They're getting downgraded. Are you going to stand next to your friend, or are you going to get stoned? See, that changes it, doesn't it? What if that was your friend? What if that was you? How would you respond? I'm embarrassed how I probably respond at first. Unless I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I don't think I respond like Stephen at first. I'm working on it. Working on it. And they stoned Stephen, and Stephen prayed. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and he fell to his knees shouting. What was he shouting? You dirty dogs. God's going to get you. I'm his man of God. I'm unjust. This is happening unjustly. Just know. What'd he say? He shouted, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. As they're killing him unjustly, this cat says, God, don't charge them for this. I got a long way to go to catch up to Stephen. That'll make you sit and shake your head a minute, won't it, Jody? Shouting, don't charge them with the sin. And with that, he died. His last words were, Father, don't, please don't. I might have been thinking, well, don't right away, but I want him to feel this. You know what I'm saying? Anybody? They're just like, you know, Father, forgive him, but, you know, if you want to biff him in the head, you just give him a little something, you know, a little Italian justice, a little bit. He said, no, my last breath, I'm going to cry to my Father for the person who's destroying my life, taking my life from me unjustly. I'm going to ask God not even charge him with it. Look it over. Get past it. Father, this didn't need to happen. Lies and sticks and stones and even death. And Stephen's heart was unparalleled. No wonder he was the first martyr. We've been warned. So you have to wonder. I want you to think about the believers you know. and not in a judgment way. I want you to think that you know them. I don't know who's in your head, but how sold out do you think they are? If they got dragged into that situation in the middle of town square, how do you think they'd respond? Will they stay authentic? Hey, look, you just say, I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to pray for someone in public. Well, I'm not gonna, just say you're not going to do that on the church ground. Just say you're not going to do that in the parking. Just say you're not going to do that at Walmart. Just say you're not, whatever the stipulation is, and we're not going to throw you in jail overnight. We're not going to beat you with these clubs. We're not going to do it. Just got to stay. How confident are you that the folks you know will stay authentic? How about this? How would you respond? I wonder who will stand and be the church now. Say, I am the church. Now, interesting part, I don't know if Pastor Justin's going to be speaking on it or when I get back, if I'm doing a season two, I don't know. But Paul's coming up. Saul turned to Paul. And there's a lesson in his life. You don't always have to take a beating. Sometimes Paul took a beating, and sometimes he took a boat. Sometimes he took a beating, and you know he was going to take a beating, and they left him for dead. And other times they go, bro, we're going to get you out of here. Why? They are rumbling. Let's get you down to the basket. Let's get on the seashore. Let's get you out of here. You don't always got to take a beating, but are you willing to? What if God said, don't take a boat on this one? Take it on the cheek. Man, taking it on the cheek is not easy, especially when I'm right. When I'm right, I hate taking it on the cheek. When I'm wrong, I go, I probably deserved it, but don't do it again. I turn the one cheek. That's it. You get one. The other one too, Lord. Oh. Will your friends who love Jesus stay authentic in those moments? How are they going to respond? How are you going to respond? I have a slide on what we've learned about responding so far. Let's read them together. Wait until he fulfills his promise. Wait till he fulfills his promise. Pray while you wait. Get your house in order. Be authentic. Be open to whatever God wants to do. We all were born lame. You can only give from what you really have. Don't lie to or about God. And know what God says and what God means. If I were to add one more, it would be this, and I didn't put it up there. I think the lesson so far in Acts that's predominant, that I don't know if it needs to be said, but I think I'll say it. Obey him all over other things. Remember, the apostles like, who are we supposed to obey, you guys or God? Who are we supposed to obey, you guys or God? And they got to work that with yourself, because so often I got things I don't want to do that God says I should do. Anybody have find those things? Who do you obey in those moments? You know what God says, but you have a different opinion of what God says. Who do you obey, you or God? If God's not first, everything else gets knocked out of order. Man, why is that happening? He's crafting us something this year that's so amazing. The things that God, so I've met with him this year. God did something this week. He wants that to be such a norm part of your life, and he's crafting it this season. He's crafting something in you to feed the world. We got to have authentic Jesus. And if we're not, you know, I had to check the pool because you got to have the chemicals just right. You know, I want it just right when the kids get to the pool. When I'm cooking spaghetti sauce, I'm stressed out, but I'm having fun too. It's strange. Why? Because I want it to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? I'm cooking it for 2 days. Did I do it right? Is it perfect? Why? Because you come over, I want this reaction. I never had sauce like this in my life. I know, right? That's what you're supposed to say. Thank you. I think during this season, people need prayer. Does anyone need prayer when you're struggling with any of these points? I mean, you could be a Christian and struggle with these points. You could be rumbling. Oh, go back to my points. You could be rumbling. You could be rumbling about one of those points right now. Like, you don't want to look at the screen. Why? Because that's your rumble point. Like, Pastor, don't look at me right now. I'm not trying to, but we all have points that we're rumbling on. Do you have any attacks in your life? Maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe at school. Honestly, because you're trying to honor God with your life and you're getting pushed back. Sometimes you got to make a stand that is so uncomfortable, but if you're going to get change, you got to make changes. And maybe you're in the midst of your life like, that's me, I got to make changes right now. Like, I'm in the change moment. You don't even know, Pastor. I'm asking you to get prayer from somebody today. I'm going to ask the pastors to come up and lay hands on you. I wanted to let you know that we've all been there, and the attacks are real, and change needs to happen, and God's trying to get us into an order and alignment. Why? So our grumbling and our rumbling turns into blessing and praise. So when they stone you and try to attack you, it's not fighting back, but your real relationship with Jesus comes out. You can actually say, don't even charge them. I got this. Lord, I'm yours. I'm in 100%. I'm yours. Help me, Father, 100%. I want to be in 100%. Maybe you have a hard time being 100%. Come get prayer. Maybe you have never confessed some of the stuff in your life. And I'm not saying to do it up front here at all. I'm actually saying don't do that. But if you've not never verbally confessed some things you think no one knows, you know, are horrible weights in your heart, when you go home today, get a moment alone in your room and say them out loud to him. Say them out loud and say, please forgive me for those things. And you watch those weights fall off your. If you're sincere in that moment, you watch Jesus fill your room. 100% of the time I've seen that happen. When someone sincerely goes, here's my thing. I'm so sorry for. Father, forgive me. I hate saying it too loud because what if somebody hears my house? This is the most ugly thing of my life. I've never told anybody, and I've asked for forgiveness, but I've never really got it. I think I got it. Maybe he says I got it, but if you don't feel that, go confess it out loud to him and let him take care of that. That's what he does. That's why he came. He came to take all that. Remember, we all been more lame. So if you need prayer, I'm going to ask you, come up and get prayer. For anything you need prayer for. And if you don't need prayer, if we could take, I'm ending us 15 minutes early. Just take a few minutes if you don't need prayer and stretch your hands out to those that do need prayer. And if no one needs prayer, I'm going to pray all over you again to feel the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray those that come up, Father, this morning that need prayer for whatever it is, for themselves, for their circumstance, for the hard things in their life, to have better responses when sticks and stones are thrown at them. To be full of the Holy Spirit because they've never been filled before. For wisdom and character, healing and wholeness, Lord. Those of us that need that, Father, I pray I extend my hand this morning, those representations, Father. I thank you, Father, what you're doing with the folks in the front. Whatever their need is this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd meet them beyond their level of expectation. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in New Season Christian Fellowship and what you're doing in Apache Junction. It's great to be part of what you're doing. Help us be authentic this season. Help us be full, Lord. Help us be the church you expect us to be, that we can have the responses that are of you and not of us. And the church said amen. Amen.